Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to the Premier Review podcast, episode number 76. Today, I'm your host, Kevin Ryan. I'm joined by the elite of the panel. Today, I'm joined by Sean Smith from Thurles Sarsfields and Stephen Cronin from Carrick Davins. Big first item today, lads, is Tipperary had a 4-point narrow loss to Waterford at the weekend. Stephen, just to get your first, what you thought of the match in general, some of the good and some of the bad.
To be honest, I know on Tip we don't do more victories and all that, and you know, you have to be disappointed with the loss, but, you know, you have to be really, really happy and appreciative of the effort and the performance that was on display for Merrillads on Sunday, written off by everyone. And I hate to say it, but really written off by our own as well. You know, that was the disappointing thing. And it probably led to a few people not going because they thought we'd be hammered. But I thought, you know, for a team in transition and, you know, four new debutants, Tip were excellent. You know, they performed really, really well. What I was worried about, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, was did we have championship fitness for 70 minutes? Could we keep the intensity up and the aggression levels up for 70 minutes? And that was answered very, very clearly that we could. And you know, I suppose it does a lot of positives to take out of. I wouldn't be too harsh with negatives. Rather, you know, so there's a few things you can adjust. You know, like I don't think there's a whole heap of bad negatives. Obviously, the major one is the restart after halftime. Like, you know, this is not a first time that happened. It happened against Limerick last year, and it's something we need to work on. How we stop these fast starts from the other team going forward is they'll have to work on that. They'll have to stop it because
I was a little bit disappointed with that, Stephen, just to kind of cut across you there, because I think we knew, similar to the Limerick game last year, that Waterford, if they had anything about them being a lean cat, that they were going to look for that fast start after in the second half. Could have tipped on more there to, again, we talk about maybe the player going down, starting a row, the little things. Now, it wasn't as bad as the Limerick game, as in it wasn't a terminal kind of phase.
Yeah.
That Limerick had, but could we have done a bit more there in that phase after halftime?
Yeah, it is a strange one. Like, you could attribute it to it. Like, as a player, I don't like staying in the dressing room too long. You know, I think when you stay in the dressing room too long at halftime, it, you know, like, the testosterone levels, they drop a little bit. Like, you're resting, you're getting too comfortable in there. And Tipper in the dressing room a long time. Now, look, that might have nothing to do with the restart. You know, but I just don't like it. And I never feel you start properly when you're in the dressing room for so long. You're only pissing off, for want of a better word, you're only pissing off the team that's waiting for you on the field. And, you know, their teeth are grinding that little bit harder. But, look, I suppose, from the hurling point of view, something has to give. Like, you know, it's not a once-off. It happened before, but thankfully we were able to stem that flow a little bit. But it could be a situation where, if it's an issue going forward, you might have to take out the two corner forwards and play them in behind the halfbacks for the restart. You know, just crowd that air. Don't leave.
I think you know, it's lost a bit, but you know, Waterford did get off to a good start as well. Tip hit three bad wides before they got the first, you know, score on the board, which turned out to be a great one. On it, like, you know, so there might be something in there to address this week. Look, you're not going to be able to do a lot this week. But I think, you know, getting the mentality right to start right in both halves against Clare, I think.
Yeah.
Sean, just go to you for your general thoughts about the match. All doom and gloom, or is...
No, I'm actually kind of very positive, to be honest. Like, I haven't heard much negativity after maybe one or two kind of players, but then in fairness, there was 12, 13 lads that stood up in that team. Kind of echoing Stephen there, kind of poor restart, but also I think the kind of poor fade away in the first half, the last couple of minutes. The Waterford get three in the bounce as well, you know, like, so, and I went in four up half time, that could have been 6-7. And then if they get swinging the other side with one or two, they're still up that kind of 5-point cushion. Again, the lads kind of left on the field, to be honest. The subs that came on, like, were kind of crying out there. I was watching, I didn't get down to town now, but like, are crying on to bring on lads. And when the subs come on, they did show up, like, you know, so they're fighting for positions. And the next day, they're going into the Dogs in McLaren, and it's winner take all, as far as I can see.
Were you surprised, I suppose, with maybe Bonner being first sub on, setting aside the kind of the blood sub Seamus going off late in the first half, that it was Bonner coming on at half time?
Oh, yeah.
Dan McCormick didn't come in.
I was sure. I was watching a load of lads and we're sure, like, Dan's on now half time now for Flint. That was the sub. And then someone said, Bonner's on. I goes, oh, I kind of wonder, because in midfield, we needed that kind of push. And, like, Dan came on, he got two scores. And I don't think Bonner was the option half time. But then Colin May tried to set a different game plan and tried something, just didn't work. But, like, first day out, and you can learn from these small things. Like,
yeah, exactly. Maybe the other notable kind of, just when talk about the subs, maybe John McGrath's late introduction, I think it was the other thing that struck me, not in until the 66 minute.
Clinical. If he got some of the chances that Joe Brown kind of got Morris near the end, you know, them kind of ones that would have got back to a point too, like, you know, like John McGrath, the sharpshooter. He went got more before Joe Brown, like, so, but, like, it's kind of learning curve. There's a reason, like, why did John McGrath come with 3 minutes to go? There's something we don't know, is there?
I think part of that as well, and it might explain a little bit of the Bonner introduction so early, is that game, it needed a lot of pace, a lot of running, you know, and maybe that was a bit of the thinking, that because a lot of quick lads came on. Like, you know, Dan is fairly, you know, he's quick and he's industrious and he's a worker. Same with Bonner. And then when Jer Brown came on, Jer Brown is really quick. And I really thought, you know, we're going to add a bit of electricity here. Like, you know, the poor effort that time, like, you know, it was.
Is there danger, though, Stephen, there of pigeonholing lads? I mean, you say, you know, we needed pace and all that. And, you know, that was a central theme of this podcast over the last couple of weeks, get pace in around the middle of the team. But, you know, then Noel McGrath, who I don't think any of us thought would play the full 70 minutes, played and was exceptional for, you know, the 70 minutes. Are we, because, you know, that game wouldn't suit John McGrath. And you said, Joe Brown hit a bad one. Keogh hit a bad one coming down the straight. Morris kind of tiring, probably hit a bad one coming down the straight. For me, 5-6 minutes isn't enough for a sub to make an impact.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just horses for courses. I think it was for the game that was in it. Look, you're going to make a decision, is either going to be right or wrong. And I'd like to think you made a decision on, if we added pace, you know, team tiring, and you might get the opportunity. Now, and let's be clear about it. They got the opportunities, but they just made a a balls of the opportunities, if you get me, like, you know. And and if it was John on the end of him, you'd fancy him to go over the bar. But I suppose, look, the lads had their chances, they just didn't push him away, like, you know. And I'd expect John to start the next day unless there's something really going on in the camp, because I think the Clare game could be a real opportunity for him to get the confidence back. I'm not underestimating Clare whatsoever, but I just think it's going to be a different type of game. Like, a lot of our forwards, they are off the ball. The work they had to put in, you know, the chase around, the hairing into tackles, and, you know, maybe that wasn't seen as John's forte, you know what I mean? But the Clare game could be a right game to bring him on. And, you know, I think if Tipper to do anything this year, especially qualify out of the group, and look, who knows? I think they do need John McGrath firing, you know. And look, whatever way the match went, the way it went the other day. So hopefully, going forward, all those lads know next week now they're hoping for the start, not expecting the start. And I think that keeps everyone on their toes.
Looking at the game then, as mentioned there, Tipperary had a slow enough start. A couple of nervous whites to start off. Waterford got into their groove then. Then Tipperary definitely came roaring back into the game, really settled down, got some great scores. And I think that brought us in, you know, with a, you know, 5-6 point lead there at times in the first half. Then Waterford, as Sean said, kind of just came back into the game, started to come, you know, find their feet a bit towards the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game. Then one of the key incidents of that half was the Seamus Kennedy getting a belt from Mikey Kyle. It's been talked about, you know, on the Sunday game and kind of elsewhere as well on other podcasts. We're not going to dwell on it here, but for you lads as well, Sean, come to you first. Was it a red card?
Well, to be honest, like, if you're giving them, then are you going to ever put in a high ball ever again in your life? You know, like, it was wild, but I don't think it was, anyway, to be honest. I wouldn't. Like, you know, if he went down, there's no blood there, would it be the same reaction, you know?
Yeah, Stephen, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't have the benefit yet. I've seen it on telly. I haven't got around to watching them. But, like, they didn't, well, from where I was, and it didn't seem to be too much of, was there a big furore from the Tip lads around the area? Like, you know, these things happen. And look, he could have been 2 foot away from the ball. And if you're in no position to actually get your hurley to the ball, then yeah, it's dangerous, it's wild, and it has to be dealt with. But as I said, I haven't seen it on TV yet. Yes, I get around to watching it the next day or two. But, you know, like, as Sean said, if there was no blood there, would there be an issue? And, you know, look, I think there was worse decisions went against us than that, you know. And I wouldn't be too worried about that part of it, that incident.
Yeah, again, and maybe not to dwell on it as well, but to pick up on the refereeing on Sunday, I think that I heard a few cribs from Tip supporters. I don't think there was any, you know, really bad decision, but a series of kind of smaller calls that I think just kept on going against Tip, and we didn't maybe get a lot back from Johnny Murphy, not that we were expecting much. But did that stand out for you? Maybe the hand pass for the first goal again for Waterford, but...
Yeah, see, look, when you're there, you probably don't see the hand pass clear enough, like, you know. So again, as I said, I didn't see it. But what frustrated me was, and I don't feel I was on my own down there thinking it, because a few Waterford lads around me, and it was, oh geez, we got away with that, you know. When you're hearing that, those comments, I felt Tip were given 4 steps, rightly so. That's the rules. But I felt Waterford were given 5, 6 steps, you know. And that happened so many times during the game. Even I think it was for the second goal, like he could have been done for barging it. Was it? And there was a lot of steps, but Tip were getting done. It felt like when we were there, Tip were getting done for they had the maximum of the 4, Waterford getting the 5. The other one then that annoyed me was, and just reading on it, when Noel McGrath got the yellow card, someone on Premier View said it was a little pull, it was a good spot by the referee. Grand, I can accept that. But Dan McCormick had the ball in his hand. He was in stride and the ball was poked out of his hand. Now, maybe I'm after forgetting the rules, but when the ball is cleanly in your hand, you can't pull on the hand. The ball, if there's daylight between your hand and the ball, yeah, you can pull on the ball. But when it's in your hand, you cannot pull on it. And Dan never got his free for that, which would have had us in, I think there's only a point or two at that stage, would have had us, it should have been a bread and butter free at that stage. Like, these are just little frustrating things that you know, that it doesn't help the referee, like, you know, it doesn't help his reputation when these things happen. But look, the referee's performance is not the reason we were bet, like, so, you know, we won't dwell on too much on it either.
Speaking on frees, I think one of the things that was maybe a bit below par for Tipperary was actually Jason Ford, both in play and on place balls as well. When you knew you were going to be in a tight game, it wasn't Jason's day. Like, can we say a lot more than that? You know, he can't be a 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 player every time, but I think he'll be disappointed himself.
Yeah, could I comment on the referee? Sorry, lads, just because maybe I'm going against the grain a little bit here, but I'm definitely one of the Tip supporters that had major quibs about the referee on Sunday. And if Liam Sheedy is afraid to call it out in the Sunday game, I'm not afraid to call it out on this podcast, because I thought the refereeing was very poor. And just to put a bit of context on this now, I mean, this isn't the first time that this guy has refereed a Tipperary team and, you know, hasn't given us fair play. Like, the incident involving Seamus Kennedy, to me, is a red card all day long. That's, that happens out the field. And it's just two players going for the ball and you pull across a fella's head. It's a red card. It's dangerous play. It's reckless. It's a red card. End of story. And, you know, if that happened to a Waterford player and it was done by a Tip guy, the whole country would be screaming the place then about it. I mean, Dyken wanted Ronan Maher suspended, I think, after the 2019 Munster final for a shoulder on a guy, a fair shoulder on a guy. So I thought that was a terrible decision, okay, first of all. And to see Derek McGrath, now I didn't watch the Sunday game on Sunday night, but completely given up on watching that, as you know, but I did have a look back at it on Monday just for the purposes of this podcast, a little bit of research to see what Derek McGrath was saying. An absolute nonsense argument, again, saying the backman came from nowhere. I mean, where did he think Seamus Kennedy should have come from? The flipping stand or somewhere? I mean, he's entitled to go for that ball. Your man pulled down and he's nowhere near the ball. It's a red card. The goal then that Hutchinson got, I mean, Kiley takes 7 steps with the ball, lads. Like, what? I don't know what's the rule there. Like, I mean, it's 4 steps as far as I know. Is it now
the rule steps? Is, I think, Colin, that you're probably only going to get done for steps out the field. Okay. And that the referee's probably watching, not sticking up for Johnny Murphy, he's probably watching 2 or 3 things as a fella comes in closer to the goal, and you will get that extra couple of steps, which is, you know, we all against the rules. But yeah, I'd agree that, you know, I think that Tip definitely on balance came out.
Barry Heffernan as well was pushed in the back in the second half. I was looking kind of across at this. He seemed to get pushed in the back, fell on the ground, touched the ball on the ground, and it's a free to Waterford. Like, I mean, that was a bad decision as well. There was a terrible decision in the first half.
Was that Austin Gleeson's first involvement as well, which got the momentum going for him?
You know, but look, I couldn't come on and not talk about the referee. I think it needs to be talked about. And I think, you know, if you think as well, Gillan last year was a red card down in Cork. You know, again, that went against us. We didn't get it, you know. But look, on the game itself, I thought, in fairness to Colin Bonner and his selectors, they got their team right, apart from one or two players that the lads have spoken about. You know, maybe Alan Flynn in midfield didn't go so well. He seemed to fumble a couple of balls in the first 20 minutes. Maybe his physicality, lads, isn't there. I don't know. I wouldn't see enough of him in club hurling, really, to know much about him like that. But I just thought physically he looked a bit out of it. Just, Kevin, on Jason Ford, yeah, you're right. I think I did read someplace or hear someplace that Jason Ford may have been sick during the week coming into the game, you know. And as you said, we can't expect a 10 out of 10 from him every week, but he's probably in that group of players now that we really need to grab the game by a scruff of the neck if we're going to win it. And I thought it was interesting that all the newcomers really were the guys who really stood up on Sunday and really put in a performance. And that was very, 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 very promising to see. And, you know, just something that Stephen had said earlier on, that, and I agree with this, that I didn't really go down there worrying about our hurling, because, you know, we generally hurl well in championship. We always hurl well in championship. What I was probably a little bit worried about was, would we bring an intensity and a physicality to the game? And we certainly did that. And that was very, very pleasing to see. I suppose, lastly, I just say, coming out of the game, walking out of there, I have to say I was a little bit disappointed, just in the sense that the game was there maybe to win or draw. I just thought, you know, a little bit more composure and I suppose a little bit more experience and fairness, and that game could have been won. But, you know, definitely more positives than negatives.
And Thanks, Colin. I just wanted to ask Sean about a couple of those debutants in particular. Like, you know, I suppose Craig Morgan, we've been well touted on this podcast, you know, that he is quite the prospect. I think, you know, Dylan Quirk as well, you know, had a solid, maybe a bit culpable for the first goal, but that's really nitpicking there. Connor Bowe, unfortunately, his day was curtailed at halftime. And then Mark Yeo, obviously, look, he's, I suppose, new to the Tipperary public. He's an All-Ireland medal in his back pocket. Out of the four of those, maybe, you know, who which one really took your eye?
The lads in the full back line, for sure. Like, you know, Craig Morgan, Aaron Creedy, like, Craig Morgan especially. Like, he just...
Creedy as well, I forgot, sorry.
There was stage in the first half for them, running our full back line. And it was like an old Tip team. They were just hitting the break wall and the ball's coming out and it was a big cheer. And it just had something about, you know, kind of... They're standing up to, like, you know, like Craig Warren kept the highly scoreless and like really there as well. And then Shabarrett experienced there beside him. Like, so them lads can hold their head up high. We're saying to start here, that's probably our full back line. And at the moment, I can't see any changes there. Cork, as I say, got lucky, maybe the goal. Mark Hugh was a target man in the first half and even the second half, an out ball there in the first half. That dangling ball, Hugh was there on top for like his first goal. He took it exceptionally well. Two lads down, we're on that stag, and a few of us sent back to 9-1, so that paid for the old drink for day. So fair to Mark Hill, give him a pint if you ever see him. But like, them lads can hold their heads up high, like, there's no two ways about it. Like, you know, they went down to Walsh Park, expecting to get thumped, like, and you're putting in these so called experienced lads and some of the best marquee forwards at the moment in form. They can go away proud of it.
There's definitely no time to lick our wounds now with Clare coming to the stadium on Sunday. I think we're just going to have, even for this, you know, I suppose it's all been said there, you know, we were right in the game, which we would have took before it. Maybe it lacked a bit of composure coming down the straight, happy enough with the newcomers. But the 7-day turnaround is, you know, look, you have Noel and John in there, very used to doing with their clubs now. You have to get down after this game and then you have to get up for the Clare game. It's a different circumstances. Is everybody saying that, you know, we didn't have a chance in all this. Now we're going as favourites against Clare. It's a must-win game.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the pressure's on Tip to the pressure I'd be putting on him, for want of a better phrase, was, can you do it now consistently? Can you do it next week now that you're favourites? And I think Tip are favourites coming to this game. This is a game you should be winning. The physical fatigue or whatever it is going in, I don't think there should be any there, because they're supremely fit, they're well conditioned, they've access to the best strength and conditioning and dietitians and recovery and all that stuff. It's the emotional high and low, can you manage? Like, they're waiting on this match now in a long time. They're thinking about this match an awful long time, so they're up, their emotions are through the roof. Even playing that game, you're running on different emotions. You know, there's going to be a low for the next couple of days. Not a low because you're defeated, because it is mentally draining. They have to get that part right again and bring the same intensity, aggression, application this weekend, all the while being favourites. And that's the next question I'd ask of Tip. Can we do it again? Can we do it consistently? Because I believe that if we win this weekend... The talk of a free shot at Limerick, but like, who knows what happens against Limerick? It will come down to the last game against Cork, and I do believe we'll beat Cork if we can prove we can be consistent now, you know. And I think I'm hoping the old shackles are off of Marky Hall, because sometimes when you have a player like Jamie Callan playing on the same team as you, it can hamper you a bit, because he's the star, so it's kind of like he'll do the work. I'll just, you know, I play on the edges. But I think he put in a performance there Sunday that it felt like he just said, lads, this is my show now, give me the ball. And I hope to see it again this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, as I said, we're probably marginal favourites for this one. But, you know, reading there today, Shane O'Donnell probably back in for Clare. They're definitely not going to go to Semple or FBD Semple or whatever we're calling it these days, full of fear. And, you know, I think that Tipperary are going to have to really sit out their stall early on, get ahead, and maybe having the game under their belts, really, you know, use that. The nerves will be gone. Clare will have another couple of new starters themselves. Like, Colin, would you agree with much of what Stephen's kind of saying there? Like, that it's, you know, it's everyone I'm talking to this week, Clare's a must win because you don't want to leave in yourself needing to beat Limerick and Cork.
Definitely, Kevin. Look, in some ways, it's a bigger challenge than the Waterford game because, as the lad said, the Waterford game was a free shot. We weren't expected to win it. We were playing down in Welsh Park, you know, all the pressure was off us. Now there's an expectation to beat Clare, and we still have some issues to resolve, you know, and the added pressure then if we lose the game, we're basically gone out of the championship, unfortunately. Like, you know, that's the reality of this. Like, you know, so I think there is going to be a fair bit of pressure on us for Sunday. And it'll be interesting to see, as the lads have said, you know, how we start on Sunday. Do we take the momentum from the Waterford game straight away into the Clare game and, you know, build up a lead in the first half? One statistic actually that I saw from last Sunday's game, which I thought was very interesting. I think between the 28th minute of the first half and say the 50th minute of the game, so 12 minutes into the second half, I think Waterford outscored us by something like 212 to 4 points. I thought that was a very, very telling statistic. You know, we really faded out of the game there. So we had a very good first 25 and last 20, but that middle part of the game, we seemed to die a death. And, you know, hopefully that we can give almost a more even performance against Clare on Sunday and play for the entire 70 minutes. And I think if we play for the entire 70 minutes and we iron out one or two selection issues, you know, I would fancy us all right. But again, you know, Clare are a bit unknown. We don't really know too much about Clare. They're, I suppose, a bit like we were last Sunday in the long grass. So, you know, it has all the ingredients, again, to be a cracker of a game. And there'll be nothing given to us easy next Sunday. Absolutely nothing.
Definitely. And, you know, we don't know about the health of Conor Bowe. He looked like he had a bad finger injury coming off at half time there. Sean, you mentioned maybe any more changes than that on the tip team, would you see?
Certainly, I think maybe more can go a different plan, but it's kind of getting out of the blocks again. Midfield is still a problem. We've been sitting here in this podcast since we started this podcast, and we kind of flee and hear from midfield again. What's the answer? Is Dan Morales on this? But it's one area every time.
Edel Watson seems to be, you know, featured early on the league,
I don't know, is there anyone that you could bring out and try him there? Like, we tried everyone, not Conor Sagan probably isn't answer, but he came on and got a lot of ball around that kind of half hour line. Not my feeler, so up a goal and got a point, but John Morales. Sorry?
Dan in there, maybe?
Has to be Dan.
From the off.
And I feel John will start. And that could be a two change. Kind of maybe your player 7 or 8 kind of the forwards actually feeling see a way they're working. But it's Semple Stadium. I know we lost the water, but a bit of momentum going in now to Clare. There was a kind of small buzz round that we didn't see last week at all, to be honest. The lads asked for tickets, and you know, and they go on the third list, which is great. I think if we didn't show any kind of forwards as Waterford, people wouldn't give a toss about. But you have to get off the good foot. If Clare getting top foot, I think it could get a bit nasty. Not nasty, but kind of, oh, fuck this. Bears the performance we had last week. No. Why can we show that again?
Well, it is. You know, we are in that jeopardy stage, as Colin said, where a loss and tip are all without. Limerick, again, we'll touch on in a minute. They were very impressive against Cork on Sunday. I know Cork wouldn't be highly thought of here. But, you know, to come out and do that in Parky Cueve, basically gift them a goal with the first puck of the game, it shows that they are at their level. And I think that, you know, they are very much still the team to beat.
Yeah, I'd agree they're the team to beat, because they've been proving it the last couple of years. But I suppose next week now we'll really see just how good Limerick are. As I said last week, I wouldn't have been overly concerned about Waterford's performance in the league final against Cork, because it's Cork. I wouldn't be overly concerned about Limerick's performance against Cork in the first round of the championship, because it's Cork. To say something like that, to an older fella especially, be like, geez, it's Cork, but Cork we know are absolute dire. It is absolutely terrible.
I think that has to be said again, Steve. They were absolutely, the game plan, you've 5 or 6 weeks to size up Limerick or whatever, and they were actually worse than they were
in the
All-Ireland final. It's unforgivable.
You strip back Limerick's game, right? They wanted a possession game and all this. But when they have to launch it, they'll launch it, and the lads will fight for their own ball. They'll get into the rucks. They'll take the belts. They'll take all the physical stuff, embrace it. Like, Cork are trying to play what seems to me like they're trying to play a bit of soccer when they're playing hurling. Handy side balls, handy possession balls, handy. But when the time comes to launch it, they're so conditioned to try and keep possession that they won't even launch the ball up. Like, that goal they conceded at the time Aaron Galan was inside on his own, that's criminal. If Aaron the 13s were out last night, it was the big ball we were playing, but if that happened last night, I'd have to get them all in really kicking the hole. That's how bad that was. Like,
but as well, Kyle Hayes' first call, you know, with the fullback going out the field, I mean, or, you know, the cover, you know, literally getting sold the worst dummy, you know, I mean, it's under 13.
Brutal. Yeah, it's brutal. And this, all that running might work under age, sideways passing, and, you know, like, but hurling is a physical, intense game. And if you cannot play a physical game of hurling, you're at nothing. And that's why Tip getting over Clare this weekend, I think will qualify us out of Munster, because to show consistency, that's all we want from them, because they have the hurlers and they'll go and bait Cork then and put Cork out of their misery.
One concern I'd actually have on that is that Cork were actually so bad that they're going to have to, you know, like with Davy Fitz a few years ago, come around for the old Ribenas or whatever, like, and have a heart-to-heart. They can't be that bad for the rest of the championship, mm-hmm. because, and, you know, if they have anything about them, as you know, I was trying to beat them up a bit here and give them some chance against a Limerick team that are underwhelmed in the league. But, you know, if they have anything about them now, they need to throw the game plan out the window, and they do have time because they're not on this weekend. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe with Anthony Daly kind of touting Tim O'Mahony up to the forwards is one kind of thing they can do, and that, like, you know, they just can't be as bad, and that might put them back by the time they roll up to Semple Stadium.
Yeah, maybe so, but if you can't take a shoulder, you can't. You're at not, no matter what their game plan is.
Well, even on this weekend, I think this Waterford Limerick game may just be an odd damn squid, lads, to be honest. Bit of shadow box. Like, Waterford aren't going to show the hand to Limerick here. Limerick going to show the hand to Waterford? Like, this is the most final, I think, isn't it? Like, it will be eventually. Like, but hard to know he and Waterford start. I think he'll start the same. He'll bring on the boys again, like, through, come on, Austin, Barron, Bennett, Barron. Like, you know, they're daily, like, there's some souls bring on, like, even just don't start them again and bring them on and see what the result offer. Like, I don't think Cal will be too worried either, to be honest.
Well, if they took that approach, though, like, and they were beaten again, that's a huge psychological blow going into a Munster fight. If they make it, if Tip can't, you know, if there's a huge psychological blow going into a Munster fight against Limerick, who you haven't beaten, you know, and then with Limerick, then you'd be thinking, on the other hand, or you'd be hoping, look, let's go out and put manners on these crowds so that they don't raise a gallop in the Munster final. Like, you know, I'd be hoping for a cracker, and you'd be thinking, whichever team gets the win this weekend, should they have a couple of easy games then to work on the rest of the championship, then, you know.
Yeah, they're qualified. So, the winner's true, aren't
yeah,
they?
More than likely.
Just back to our own game, lads. We probably need, you know, Jake Morris and Jason Ford now to have better games next Sunday than they had last week. Now, I know Jake Morris, in fairness, he worked very, very hard and he was flying into tackles and buzzing around the place, but probably his contribution on the scoreboard wasn't what we needed. Like, you know, he fluffed a chance near the end. And the same with Jason Ford. And actually thinking back on it, Jason Ford was poor in the league game against Waterford as well, now that I think about it. So, you know, we probably need those two boys now to, you know, there are kind of, you know, almost our marquee forwards, you know, Ford, we've talked about plenty of times on the podcast before, like, and the admiration we all have for him. And I suppose Jake Morris is now kind of one of the young pretenders, maybe to Callanan or Corbett's crown of, you know, goal getter and goal scorer for us, along with Keogh. So I really hope the two lads now find a bit of form on Sunday. And just on Conor Bow, I thought he played very well last Sunday in the time he was on. I think he's I don't know, has he dislocated his finger or is it something a bit more serious? But it looks like he might be out for 3 or 4 weeks, which would be, you know, it'd be very, very disappointing. Somebody just mentioned that to me this morning. So that'll be very, very disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it does, like, these championship games, they are kind of quite attritional. So, again, going back to the Limerick Waterford game, that might actually, you might see a bit of a phony war there is what I come to say, but you definitely won't see one in Turles. Just, you know, before we wrap up, lads, you know, Munster Championship kicked off. I think it was White Heat. You know, a good game and a half maybe until Limerick got on top and there was no way back from Cork. Leinster, you know, you had three, well, you know, you had two definitely low-key games with kind of, you know, Kilkenny kind of out for a stroll and Dublin maybe kind of, you know, getting on top versus Leash there again. But, you know, the other game of significance there was Wexford, you know, coming back from the dead almost against, you know, a Galway team that showed a lot of composure. Lads, I watched this one and
robbed
fired the last. I don't think it was robbed. I think the stupidity by Galway not to see the game out. But and then just like they, I know maybe the crowd got Wexford home in it, but I think that could be a very valuable point now for them, and they have to go again this weekend.
It's a poor game. Like, I had no kind of
like a league match, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought it was glory. Yeah, when I watched it, I was kind of going, "Jesus, no, it hasn't taken off yet." It took off in the last couple of minutes when, you know, they got the few handy frees and a few scores, and they're going mad as if they were great. Like, it wasn't compared to the other, say, tip off game, even to the first until Limerick dominated. There was no comparison. Like.
Yeah, I just think for me, Munster is just that bit ahead of Leinster. We wait to see, maybe see Kilkenny in full flight kind of later on. If they have the kind of soft introduction, but yeah, as you said, it definitely lacked a bit of intensity, and I saw lads cribbing about modern hurling over, like, you know, but I think definitely the tip game was, you know, showed a lot of the better qualities of a good game of hurling there.
Yeah, the tip Waterford game I thought myself it was a good game. It was an enjoyable game. It was old school as much as old school can be these days. Do you know what I mean? It was fairly hip to hip. It was fairly, you know, it was very intense, you know, and in fairness to tip, you know, we did quieten the crowd down there for long periods. Like, do you know what I mean? You know, there was an element of going into the Lions Den down there. But to be fair to the boys, you know, as I said, they brought intensity and they brought physicality to the game. And that's one of the things that would have worried me going down there. I always feel we'd always usually perform in championship, you know, that, you know, we've a long, proud history of that. You know, we always show up for championship games. But I was just a little bit afraid about would we be able to bring the level of intensity? And we did that. And I suppose going back to next Sunday's game, the challenge now is to bring that intensity again with us into the game. And if we bring that intensity, I think we'd have enough to win, you know, and that, as you said, sets us up with a free shot against Limerick. And then hopefully, as we sort of predicted last week on the podcast, that it might all come down to the Cork game. And just on the Cork Limerick game, I think in fairness to Limerick, their excellent performance, you know, albeit against, you know, a very poor Cork team, has been kind of overlooked by the absolute, you know, roasting that Cork have got since the game. Like, they have been absolutely trashed by everybody, by Donal Logue, by, you know, their own, by, you know, all the experts everywhere. Like, Cork have really, there's no place to hide after last Sunday, Kevin. And there's no amount, I know I was sort of in agreement with you that, you know, maybe they'd bring something different to the championship, but, you know, I can't defend them anymore here. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I'm actually just thinking they're basically the hurling equivalent to Man United at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah,
like, they're just,
yeah,
they look so far off it. Like, you know, the had this rebel plan and they were going to dominate and all this. They're just so, they've nothing. But and I had a bit of hope that, and I did think that if they had anything about them there, that they would really fly into Limerick, but they're just not capable of it in their current incarnation.
No, definitely not. But look, Limerick were very good as well. And Limerick are very good. You know, there's no point in getting away from that. Limerick are a serious outfit, like, you know, and, you know, it pains me to say that, but they are a serious outfit. And they looked every bit, to me on Sunday, favourites for the All-Ireland. You know, they were easily the most impressive. As I said, despite who they were playing, they were easily the most impressive of the teams that I saw playing last weekend. You know, I thought that they were cut above the rest of them, like, you know, and they're going to take some stopping, like, you know. But look, you know, it's unusual as well, just to finish, like, it was a bit unusual to be playing championship in April. It just, there was a sort of an unreality about the whole thing on Sunday for me. It was a very wet day. Now, I know we get wet days in the middle of the summer here as well, but there was a real kind of a league feel about even going down to the game. I don't know if you felt that. I just felt it was kind of an unusual atmosphere, an unusual occasion. Like, you know, now once the game started, it, you know, things heated up pretty quickly. But, you know, I think it's brilliant to have a split season. But, you know, something is, you know, I'm just a little bit unsure about playing championship hurling, you know, the middle of April. Just doesn't sit well with me yet. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, I really don't know what the answer is. But, you know, not, you know, the fact that we could be out of championship on the, what is it, 23rd, 24th of April.
I mean, yeah.
That's shocking. Like, you know, I find that a little bit unpalatable. But look, at better minds than mine have wrestled with this for a long time, and this is the solution they've come up with. So we'll run with this for a while and see where it takes us.
Yeah, look, I think the payback from that is, you know, good quality club action in high summer, like, or, you know, in the really demanding months of August, September.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we might have to judge the full year when, you know, when we have the full thing. But, like, I think definitely there is a bit of, you know, disquiet on, you know, big championship games kind of getting on, and where it is in the calendar as well. Like, you know, we mentioned soccer twice, and, you know, the Masters is on, and you have the Grand National. So it's hard in the media space to kind of get for the focus on the GA. RT have been awful, I suppose, in terms of build-up anyway, at any point. But, like, yeah, I think that this calendar might take a bit of tweaking, but I think the genesis of it is good to kind of
Kevin, is that the GAA's fault or is it RTE's fault? I often wonder. Like, are we as an organisation failing to promote our game through RTE?
It's a bit of a, look, the media man with the players, like, over the league and stuff, it's all not helping, you know, but I think definitely, I don't know whose fault it is, Colin, to answer, but the lack of a magazine program and the lack of any kind of big launch, you know, an in-depth detail of, you know, the Munster and Leinster championships as one, because look, the football we're used to have being a slow burner and, you know, a soft launch kind of getting going, and then the kind of momentum builds with teams coming through the qualifiers and all that. But the hurling, look, the best teams in the country on one side, and two of them are going to be out now over the next few weeks, like, you know, so these matches do matter.
I know we're finishing up, but we did touch on it earlier on, lads, about midfield. And, you know, I think we said this last January even about midfield, that, you know, it was an area that worried us all. Like, we just don't know who, we don't have a midfield at the moment. Like, Barry Heffernan, I don't, you know, he did okay in the first half on Sunday, a little less good in the second half. But to be fair to Barry, I don't think he is a midfielder, you know, and I, you know, like, I'm not going to say, you know, Alan Flynn to me is not good enough to start centre field for Tipperary. You know, I'm sorry to have to say that, but, you know, he isn't, like, you know. And, well, who are you going to put in? I honestly don't know. I don't know who we try there. I mean, I don't know, Stephen, would James Kennedy do a job in their midfield? Like, you would have seen him play, or no, you wouldn't?
I'd keep Seamus where he is. To be honest, I think the next day I'd go with Dan with Barry Heffernan. I know Barry has his critics and all that, but I think he's so comfortable on the ball and the type of hurling we're trying to play that he's a good go between from the backs to the forwards, getting on the possession, the 1-2s, and, you know, he's a good outstride on him too. You know, like, he might not be the biggest or the quickest and all that, but I think he needs a partner that might have to do the dirty work for him, if you get me. But I think his comfort on the ball gets him nods. I think, look, I mentioned it about Alan Flynn today. I think Alan is a fantastic hurler. I think he's a brilliant, and he proves it year in, year out at the club. But the game has moved on from Alan's physique, I think. You know, he's a fantastic hurler, but he's not overly big. He's not overly fast. He's not overly strong. So he's in the middle of the field fighting with monsters, basically. Yeah. You know, and it's
throw taking back to the old midfield role of, you know, breaks and like link to play, Stephen, and maybe, you know, we're not doing. It depends, you know, what instructions those lads are going out with that are playing midfield. What's the exact role?
It's a horrible place to play. Because they're expected to make the runs to help out. They're expected to make the runs to stop things, but they might never touch a ball. But them being in that area, getting a little hook in, getting a little shoulder in, getting a little nick of the ball, that's phenomenal work that will never be seen, you know. And it's just, unless a midfielder scoring 4 or 5 points a game, he's automatically going to be said to have played poor. Now, Alan had a real tough day at the office the other day, and after 15 minutes, he was talking to Tommy Dunne, he was begging for air. It looked a bit strange, but look, when you're fighting against lads that are physically bigger and stronger than you, you're going to suffer no matter how good your hurling is.
Yeah. Definitely something, you know, maybe his role might be to come on with 15 minutes to go. You know, the occasions aren't maybe as big then.
Exactly.
Right, folks. All roads definitely lead to Turles this weekend. It's a must-win for Tipperary. Hopefully we'll be back here this week celebrating the Tip victory and looking forward to two games versus Cork and Limerick.
Thanks for having me, Greg. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.